presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan. You know, gang, in this modern age, there are so many uses for an airplane that you couldn't possibly count them all at one sitting. Here's a new one. Paul Radke of Liberal, Kansas, came up with an idea that brought in money for him and at the same time helped out many of the wheat farmers in his area. You see, June and early July in the wheat-growing lands is harvest time. Everyone drops everything to get that wheat off the field because the harvest means money to the farmer. And if rain or poor conditions arise during the harvest season, the farmers are usually out of luck. Well, the whole idea is to harvest as quickly as possible. Besides bad weather, the farmers fear a breakdown of one of their machines. By car or train, it sometimes takes a few days for any replacements to get to the fields. And those few days could mean disaster. Now, getting back to Paul Radke, he's owner of the Liberal Aircraft Company. And for a month before the harvest season, he ran ads in local papers telling farmers of his new service. Radke offered to fly in parts and repairmen from many of the machine dealers in the territory in case some of the machines went on the blink. The idea caught on like wildfire. Before the harvest season started, about 50 farmers were asking Radke about his service, and many had parts flown in before they started work because they found it was cheaper than any other method. The dealers also went for the plan because it gave them a chance to get a jump on their rivals for the farmers' business. Well, I'll be back in a few minutes, gang, to tell you how Paul Radke's plan worked out. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. When Hop and Tank accepted roles in a new motion picture being filmed on location in Eastern California, they little realized they were walking into a hornet's nest. And their first day at work found them near victims of a murderous attack by Tex Regan, a disgruntled cowhand, discharged by Ivan Ivanov, the director. Then, that night, Sequoia, Dixie Davenport's wonder horse, was stolen, apparently by Joe Bell, her personal pilot. But early the following morning, Joe returned to the location camp, slung across the back of a horse, unconscious. Now, as we continue, Hop and Tank are in Dixie's quarters, standing by as the movie star bathes Joe's head, trying to revive him.
He isn't responding, Hop. What'll we do?
Wait. Ivanov sent for a doctor, didn't he?
Yes, but he'll have to come from Crucero. He'll be at least another half hour.
I'd still like to know what happened to the guy. Where's the plane?
Where's Sequoia? That's more important.
Oh, yeah. Joe's the only one who can tell us, I'm afraid.
Why doesn't he wake up? Hop, suppose he doesn't. Suppose he never...
Dixie, stop it. I'm sure he'll be all right. His pulse is almost normal. No signs of shock that I can see. So why don't he snap out of it?
Oh, he is. Listen.
It's about time.
Joe, can you hear me?
That you, Miss Dixie?
Yes, Joe. How do you feel?
All right, I guess. Oh, my head.
Don't try to sit up, Joe. Lie back and take it easy.
Thank you, ma'am. Who's that?
Friends of mine, Hop Harrigan and Tank Tinker.
Hello, Joe. Hi.
Joe, tell me, where's Sequoia?
I don't know, ma'am.
What do you mean you don't know? Where is he?
Easy, Dixie.
But Hop,
Joe,
it's
do you feel well enough to talk?
I'll be all right.
Then let's go back to the beginning. Tell us everything that's happened and take your time.
Well, I was lying in my bunk on the plane. I didn't have nothing to do. You didn't bring Sequoia back yet, ma'am, when all of a sudden somebody was standing right beside me with a gun in his hand.
Who was it?
I couldn't tell. He had a black scarf over his face.
Well, what was he wearing?
Regular cowboy outfit, like all the extras.
Go on, Joe.
At first I thought it was a gag or something, but then he told me to start the engines. Said if I didn't, he'd kill me. There wasn't anything I could do, ma'am. He had a gun.
Oh, of course, Joe.
Then you came up with Sequoia, and he made me go out and tell you that Mr. Ivanov ordered me to test the engines because we were going to use the plane tomorrow. I had to do it, Miss Dixie. He was holding his gun on me all the time.
I understand.
Then what?
Well, after the engines were warmed up, he made me take off.
Where'd you go?
I don't know.
You don't know? You were flying the plane, weren't you?
Then you watched the compass?
He kept the compass covered, and I couldn't see the ground. It was dark. He just kept giving me directions. Turn this way, turn that way. I got all mixed up.
And then?
Well, then he said we were going to land. I dumped some flares overboard and came down on a level field. There was a ranch house near it. I could see the lights.
Well?
Well, that's all.
What do you mean, that's all? How'd you get back here? Where'd you pick up the horse?
Sequoia? I don't know where he is.
No. No, you rode back here on a sorrel mare about a half hour ago. You were unconscious.
I don't know, Miss Dixie. Honest, I don't. Last I remember was cutting the switches in the plane, and then I blacked out.
But what about Sequoia?
I told you, ma'am, I don't know. Last I remember, he was all right.
Oh, do you have any idea where you landed, Joe?
No.
How long was you flying?
Oh, maybe an hour, maybe a little more.
That don't add up.
Well, why not?
A C-47's got a range of about 165 miles an hour at cruising speed. If you had to ride 165 miles on a horse, you wouldn't have been back so soon.
Well, Joe said he made a lot of turns. He may have doubled back.
Yeah, that's what must have happened.
Joe, what about this note?
What note?
Well, you found it in your pocket. It was addressed to Miss Davenport.
I never saw it before.
The note asks Miss Davenport to follow certain instructions, or Sequoia will be killed.
But what instructions?
I wondered if Joe might have some idea.
I told you, I never saw the note before.
Okay, pal, okay. Take it easy.
Oh, Hop, what'll we do? You said Joe was the only one who could help us find Sequoia, and now...
Now I'm afraid we'll just have to wait for those instructions.
But when will I get them, Hop? I can't stand it any longer.
Somebody's at the door.
Oh, maybe it's the instructions.
Why does nobody answer when Ivanov knocks?
Oh, Ivan.
Dixie, my darling, for why you cry?
Sequoia. They're going to kill Sequoia.
Now, Dixie, my darling, you must not cry. You spoil your pretty face. Come, smile. Nothing is so bad as all that. Remember, it is always darkest before the daytime. You, Mr. Harrigan.
Huh?
What have you been saying to my Dixie so she cries?
Nothing. But Joe can't tell us anything about the horse. We don't know what to do now.
Do? We call the police. We call FBI. No. I, Ivanov, will call Mr. President Truman personal. We get the Army and the Navy. We will find Sequoia, or my name is not Ivan Ivanov.
Ivan, it wouldn't work.
Of course it would work. I am an American citizen. I pay my taxes. If Ivanov wants the Army, he shall get the Army.
Ivan, don't you remember what Hop said? If there's any publicity, whoever stole Sequoia might get frightened and kill him.
Where do you get that whoever routine? It was Tex Regan.
So, we find him.
I'm afraid we'll have to wait until he contacts us, sir.
You think so, huh?
Yes.
Hop is right, Ivan.
I said no, so we wait. But you should not think of this any longer, my darling. Come, we go to work.
Work?
Of course. If you sit here, you worry. You chew your nails down to the elbow. We work and take your mind off your travels. Come.
Oh, Ivan, I couldn't.
Oh, why not, Dixie? It'll be better for you.
Mr. Harrigan is a smart man. So, it is settled. Come.
All right, I'll try.
Excellent. And I make you act today like you never acted before.
Just give me a couple of minutes and let me fix my makeup.
Of course. Look your beautifulest. Come, Mr. Harrigan, Mr. Tinker.
What about Joe?
I'll be all right if I can rest a while longer.
Of course, Joe. You stay right where you are.
Thanks, Miss Dixie.
Come, gentlemen.
I won't be long, Ivan.
Take your time, Dixie. Take your time. Ah, wonderful girl, Dixie. Such spirit. She is the salt of the ground.
Yeah, she's a great girl, all right.
You go down now to the set, please, Mr. Harrigan, and get ready. I will join you there, presumably.
Yes.
And do not dally dilly. This morning, Ivanov has inspiration.
Yeah, sure, Mr. Ivanov. That character gets more inspirations. Hey, why the sourpuss, huh?
No, I was just thinking.
Dixie and her horse, huh?
Sure.
What a mess.
To say the least. Tank.
Yeah?
There's more here than meets the eye.
Huh?
Somebody slipped an extra joker in the deck, pal. The deal's way off. Something funny going on around here. I'd give my right arm to know what it is.
Hop's words are puzzling. His usually clear face is creased with lines of worry as he leads the way through camp to the movie set. What does he mean? What does he suspect? There's a startling surprise ahead, gang, so stand by.
Now, gang, let's get back to Paul Radke, owner of the Liberal Aircraft Company in Liberal, Kansas, who got the idea of flying spare parts and repairmen to farmers whose machinery had broken down. saving them many days in some cases. Getting down to facts, the delivery plan was very simple. In the event of a breakdown in the field, the farmer had only to call the Liberal Aircraft Company, describe the part he needed, and give his location. Then he would raise a white flag next to the broken machine and wait. Usually, he didn't have long to wait because Liberal's efficient staff was on the job. And in a few hours, the part was flown into the field. Farmers found how cheap this fast, efficient service was when they got their bills. All they paid for was the part they bought and 7.5 cents a mile for the round trip. On one rush job Radke had, a wheat harvester was about to leave his field without cutting the wheat. His combine had broken down, and he figured it would take days to get it fixed. Well, when he found he could have a good part flown in, he decided to stick it out. The next morning, the plane landed at 8 o'clock, and just 1 hour later, the combine was in operation. Now that the harvest is over for another season, Mr. Radke is planning new services for his community. Already, he has flown farmers over their land so they can figure out the best way of plowing it. And for a farmer, that's mighty important. The airplane owner has also flown car dealers to distribution points to pick up new cars. And he's got several other projects underway to increase the use of the modern airplane. Say, fellas and girls, you can see how important aviation will be in our future. So if you've got any interest in it, get ready to take your place in the sky. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. It is a few minutes later. Hop and Tank are on the movie set, surrounded by batteries of high-powered lights, facing the camera, ready to go into action. The booming voice of the director, Ivan Ivanov, can easily be heard above all the rustle and activity.
Why do they make so much fuss?
Why don't they just take pictures and get it over with?
Well, there's always a lot of advance preparation, Tank.
Yeah, a lot of nonsense, if you ask me. Gornet, why did that makeup guy put so much powder on my face? It's up my nose.
Hey, if you have to sneeze, do it now. Don't wait and ruin a take.
Hey, look, when a sneeze comes, it comes. I can't do nothing about it.
Where is Dixie?
Fixing her makeup, remember?
Me, Sir Peabody?
Yes, sir.
Go to Miss Davenport's dressing room. Tell her we are ready.
Very well, sir, very well.
Now, Mr. Harrigan, Mr. Tinker, you know what you should do?
Yes, sir.
I think so.
You think so? Mr. Tinker, I do not pay you to think. You know or you do not know?
All right, I know.
Good. First, we rehearse the scene a few times. And when I feel you are ready, we make movie pictures. And Mr. Tinker...
Yeah?
Please, to remember, do not look at the camera all the time. The people do not wish to see your face.
They gotta see something, don't they?
You should not worry. There is enough of you to see.
Mr. Ivanov, oh, dear, Mr. Ivanov.
What? Mr. Peabody, you have called Miss Davenport?
No, sir. No, sir, I haven't.
You say no? You think I send you out for a walk, so get out.
But you don't understand, Mr. Ivanov. She isn't there.
What?
Miss Davenport isn't there. She's left camp.
A sudden hush falls on the busy movie set as Mr. Peabody breaks the startling news. Hop and Tank look at each other, bewildered. Dixie has left camp. But why? And where has she gone?
Gang, there's mystery ahead and plenty of action, so don't fail to listen to our next episode. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.